For the past few Sundays, we've been looking at this series called Back to Basics. And what we said is, I believe that God wants us to focus on the fundamental things of the faith. There's so many things that we know. There's so many things that we've seen. There's so many things that we, in the modern church, focus on, which are really good. But I believe this time, Jesus wants us to go back to like the real foundational things of the faith, the things that every believer should focus on, apart from the extra things as well. Because these are the things I believe that will help our relationship with God and help us to really thrive as Christians. So we've looked at worship. We've looked at loving and knowing God. We've looked at the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a few more to go. But today we're going to be looking at the Word. So I'll start that today, probably hopefully finish next week. And we want to look at the Word of God. I was just thinking this morning that regarding the Word of God, it is one of the most important things that God has given us apart from the Holy Spirit coming to the earth to indwell us as Christians. The Word of God is the most powerful thing. Now, back in the days, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, it was illegal to have a copy of the Bible in English. It was illegal, and a lot of people didn't have the Bible then. And the Word of God was really scarce then. So what you would have is people making presumptions about the Word of God, and the few people that had the Word of God in another language, some oftentimes misinterpreted it. So the Word of God was really scarce. And I think there was a period in the history of the world that was called the Dark Ages. And I believe that one of the reasons why we had that age that was so dark, in quote, was because, well, a number of things, but the scarcity of the Word of God. So fast forward years and years ahead, where in the 21st century, you have the Word of God all over on your iPads, on your phone, different translations, King James, NIV, LTV, all those things are there. So it seems like it's switched from being not available to being excessively available. And I believe something that happens sometimes is when you have something that's so readily available, there is the possibility that one might begin to take it for granted. Do you understand? So that's the thing with the Word of God, that now that it's so available, we often might miss the core importance of the Word of God. So that's just a summary of what I was just going to mention. So I said, the first thing is that the Word of God is the most important gift that God has given to the body of Christ, apart from the Holy Spirit. So today we're just going to look at a number of things that the Word of God does in the life of the Christian. Then next week we'll try and finish that up. The first thing we want to realize is this, that God speaks to us through His Word. When I mean God speaks to us, I mean, God really speaks to us. He communicates to us through His Word. Now, if we look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Bible says something here in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. It says, the Word of the Lord came to me, saying. So, the Word of God actually speaks to you and I. I'll explain how it works in my own life. So it says the Word of God came to Jeremiah saying, if we look at Zechariah chapter 4 verse 8, says a similar thing about the Word of God coming to him. So Zechariah, but don't worry, I'll just quote it. It says the Word of God came to Zechariah as well, the same way it came to Jeremiah. Now, one thing we have to realize about this Word of God, this Bible that we have, it's not like any other book that you might find out there. It's not like your Christopher Copperfield. It's not like David Copperfield. It's not like your history book. It's not like your geography book. It's different. If we look at John chapter 6, verse 63. John chapter 6, verse 63. John chapter 63, verse 63 says something about the Word of God. It says it is spirit and it is life. John chapter 6, verse 63. It says, the Word of God is spirit and it is life. He says, the word of God, he says, it is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So what that means is that this word that we see, the Bible that we see is alive. The words in the Bible are alive. It's very different from any other words that we might have learned or that we might have encountered. So Jesus says that, look, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they're life. And the words of Christ can actually, well, the words in the Bible can actually speak to you as an individual. Now, how does that happen? Do you know that there's a way that you can, just ordinarily reading the Bible, there's a way that you might be reading the Bible and say, for example, you're reading the story of David, or you're reading the story of someone else in the Bible and it has absolutely nothing to do with you because you're not David, you're not in that generation. But as you're reading the word, something begins to happen. Certain thoughts begin to come to your mind. You begin to notice certain things about these people. And I remember that we were doing this, this daily reading thing that Apostle gave us to read on a daily basis, January, February. The March one isn't out yet. And with a group of people, we were meeting up on a daily basis just to see what, you know, we'll read the thing just to see what they got from it. And the amazing thing is that something began to happen. The people that we were meeting up and talking, they were now saying, my goodness, I didn't realize this. And there were certain things that they began to notice. I think we're reading Exodus at one time, we're reading Acts. And there's certain things that each person began to notice, to say, wow, these people really experienced this. This happened to them. And the word began to come alive. So it wasn't just us reading the Bible as a storybook, but God actually saying something to you from the Bible. And for me, I absolutely love reading the Bible. I remember when I became born again in 1996. I mean, it was as if I couldn't get enough of the Bible. I would take the Bible and read, and I would be so excited because it seemed as if something, everything I was reading was just popping out to me. Do you understand? I was like, this is fantastic. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that as a Christian, the Word of God can speak to you. There are times that, I mean, oftentimes when I'm like reading the Bible, a lot of things occur to me. Sometimes on a daily basis, or, you know, as we go along. And I remember about a few weeks ago, I was preparing to go to work that morning and I'd just been reading. And I was doing a presentation to, you know, try and convince someone to do something that we wanted. And this person that I was supposed to meet with, my boss, my boss's boss and some other bosses, we had actually met with them before, I mean, around what we had been doing. And they said, my goodness, fantastic. What you guys are doing is great. So I thought, these are the kind of meetings that I love. Go in there. This guy loves us already. Just tell him this is what we're doing. And he'll just say, oh, fantastic. But that morning, as I was reading, a thought came to me and he said, that meeting that you're going to today, don't take it personal because some things are going to happen in there. I was like, what do you mean, don't take it personal? Yeah. I said, okay, no problem. And I got to that meeting. I've been to meetings. It got to the point that it was so hot. It was so hot, not for me, it was hot for my bosses, hot for some of the other, and it was one of those meetings that I now realize that this was what God was telling me this morning, that don't take it personal when you get to that meeting. No problem at all. There have been times that I'll be reading the Bible and it will just, you know, the thought will just come to my mind as I'm reading. Maybe I read a verse in there that says something about, you know, even though you, let me just think of a random one that's come. Maybe God's talking about, and that one comes to my head. Maybe God's talking about something totally unrelated. So it's something like when people speak against you, you know, don't worry, or something like that. Then as I read that thing, something will just pop up in my spirit. And some things will occur to me that this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. You understand? And a lot of the times I will take note, and true to the letter, oftentimes it happens. Now, why do I take note of those things? I take note of those things because I realize that if I read the Word of God like that, reading it with the sense that, yes, I want to understand what the Bible is saying, but also with the expectation that God is going to say something to me, what will happen is this. God might say something, something might occur to me as I'm reading the Bible. I take note of it. Now, why do I take note of it? I take note of it because I want to see if that thing is going to happen or not, so that I will know if it was God speaking to me or not. So as you begin to do that practice, maybe some things will occur to you and really it's just you. It doesn't really happen and stuff like that. But because you're looking at the Bible that way, over a period of time, you begin to get a stronger sense of God speaking to you in the Bible. You understand? So what I'm saying is that this thing is so, it's not because I'm a pastor or anything. It's just really taking note that God really speaks to you and I through the Bible. And it might be a casual thing. It doesn't have to be anything that is groundbreaking. It might be God saying, you know, Pastor B, just take it easy. Do you understand what I mean? It might be that, like a friend. It might be like, you know, well, all that stuff, that stress you went through, don't worry about it. So just casual things like that will begin to pop up to you. And the thing is this, when those things now pop up to you in the Bible, it's the impact that it has on you is not like you're reading a book. It's as if someone has come to stand beside you to tell you that. So the same comfort that you will get with me saying everything is going to be fine as I'm speaking to you, that is the impact that you get as well. Do you get what I mean? So God speaks to us through His Word, every single one of us, as we note it. Do you understand? The next thing about the Word of God is this. We change by the Word of God. If we look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, excuse me, Romans chapter 12 verse 2. The next thing is that we change through the Word. The Word changes us. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So He says, we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. How do we renew our minds? We renew our minds by the Word of God. Now, what do we mean by renewing our minds? It means changing our perspective to God's perspective. So, say for example, if someone came and told me about, let's say for example, Chicago in America. Someone came and told me about Chicago, and they said, you know, Chicago, those guys are gangsters in that place because they've been watching Al Capone and all those things in the movies. Ah, it's like a land of gangsters, nothing, blah, 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 blah. And in my mind, I hope it's not Chicago you're going to. Is it Chicago you're going to? Oh, really? Oh, sorry about that. And they came and they tell you that, I thought it was New York. Okay, and they now said Chicago is like full of gangsters and all those things. And it's like, and you're like, oh my, what do I do? This Chicago thing. Your mind is fixed in a certain way because that's what you think. It's the same way as we're growing up. We have a lot of things that we've picked up as we're growing up, just normally. Now, something now happens. I now go to a shop and I get, you know, these travel books. You have Paris, Chicago, Belvedere. And I pick up one of those things on Chicago and I start reading it. And it says, oh, don't worry about the Chicago thing. The gangster era was, you know, is now gone. We have all the nice restaurants there now. You know, you can have a latte in the sun. You can have some cappuccino and all that. As you begin to read that, your opinion begins to change. Say, hang on, really? So That gangster era is gone now. This is now, you know, everything is cool and all that. What you've done or what you're doing in that sense is that you're now renewing your mind by reading that travel guide. So what does that do to you? It begins to change your opinion about that situation. And because your opinion is now changing about that situation, you feel more comfortable. Your life, you're not stressed because you're not, you know, you're not going to meet Bugsy Malone or Al Capone on the streets. It's like that era is gone. So what you're reading begins to affect your opinion, and it translates to a more exciting expectation. You're not stressed, so on and so forth. Your opinion begins to change. The same thing with the Word of God. It says we should renew our minds with the Word of God. And what that means is that all the things we used to think about ourselves, oh, I'm useless. Oh, my life will never amount to anything. Oh, this, oh, that. Those are the things that you've picked up as you were growing up. But the Word of God now begins to tell you, you know, you're precious in the eyes of God. Bible says that you're the apple of God's eye. God says, Jeremiah 33:3. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting kind of love. So you begin to see that, hang on, my life is not, you know, useless. My life is not this. God actually has a plan for me. God loves me. God has this. And as you do that, it begins to renew your mind. You begin to see yourself in the light that God sees you. And what does that do to your life? It begins to change you as a human being. And you now begin to realize that, wow, life is worth living. Wow, I'm not on my own in this world. Wow, God is going to take care of me. How do you get to that point? You get to that point by reading the Bible. And the thing is this, the Bible is more powerful than that your travel guide, because the travel guide just gives you information. The Word does something to you. It says it is spirit and it is life. As you read that Word, the actual spirit in the Word will be with you. And that spirit in the Word will be whispering to your ears as you're going along, saying, you know what? God really loves you. And you're going again, that it whispers into your ears, God really has a plan for you. And something will begin to happen to you. You will begin to change without really realizing that you're changing. But you will change. So we are looking at the Word of God, this often neglected Word of God. So in terms of changing as a Christian, it's not anything that is so, what should I say, overt. It's not something that is so, you know, intense. It could be, but it's just a simple little reading of the Bible that begins to change you as an individual day by day by day by day. Do you understand? It is that powerful. So we've said the Word of God speaks to us. The Word of God, by the Word of God, we change. The third thing is that 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2. Still talking about the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2. We grow by the Word of God. Number 3, we grow by the Word of God. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So the third thing we see is that we grow by the Word of God. Now, what does that mean? Growing. Now, what that means is this. You begin to know God more. You begin to appreciate things in the Christian faith more because you're growing up. Now, for example, we have my American lady there in the red, not the one at the back, you know, looking. You guys can't see her. She's busy on her. So she's still a little child now. Do you understand? If, for example, we went downstairs and we just said, you know what, granddad, I'm not looking in anybody's direction, granddad, she comes and she says, granddad, can I have your car, please? I just want to drive down the road. I'm sure granddad will hand his key to her and say, you know what, little three-year-old girl, let me reverse my car for you, go in the driver's seat and, you know, carry on. I'm sure Granddad would be so grateful to do that. The thing is this. Even though Granddad wants to do that, she's too little to drive. Do you understand? She hasn't grown to that level yet. So what that means is that there's so many things that are available to her that she's not able to really access. Not because she doesn't have access, not because she can't, those things have not been given to her. It's because she hasn't grown into it. Now, what does that mean in terms of our Christian faith? You know, there's so many things that God has given us as Christians. There's so many things that God has formed you to do. But it takes growing up to get to the point where you can really get the full understanding of those things. Do you understand? And how do we get there? Again, God has made it so simple. He says, we should, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow. Now, the interesting thing about growing on the word is that it is not through binge eating. You can't eat all the food at once today and you're 2 years old and you're this little and automatically you shoot up and you're 6 foot because you've eaten all the McDonald's that you can get your hands on. It doesn't work that way. It's a day by day thing. Today you have lunch, dinner, and breakfast. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Some people are smiling. You can have dinner in the middle of the night as well. That's allowed. So it's those little daily things that you're not actually even conscious about that helps you to grow. It's your normal, very casual, nothing so exciting, you know, vegetables that you're eating in the morning, sandwiches that you're eating in the afternoon. It seems like it's just a normal thing. But what's happening is that you are growing because of that. So the Bible tells us the same thing, that like newborn babies, we should desire the word. And as we study the word on a daily basis, something begins to happen in you. Something begins to happen in me as well. You will begin to grow spiritually. You begin to know things about God that you didn't know before. Certain things, you begin to have a deeper appreciation of certain spiritual things that God has already given you. And how does God say we should do it? Does he say we should beg him or do this? No, very simple. He says, look, just take the word and read it. I will speak to you through it. I will tell you things. And apart from that, you will grow. It will be like the food that you eat on a normal basis, on a daily basis. So what you have to do is just to make this word available to yourself. So it's like you're going to a restaurant. There's all the food that's laid out there. But it's up to you to pick and eat. Do you understand? So God has given us the word. So it's up to us to take time out and pick what he's giving us. And as we do that on a regular basis, something will begin to happen to you. You begin to grow and grow and grow. The fourth thing that the word of God does to us is in John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32. John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32. So we've looked at the fact that God speaks to us through his word. We've looked at the fact that our minds are renewed. We are changed as we read the word. We've looked at the fact that we grow as we study the word. And the fourth one is this, John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32. We also experience freedom through the word of God. So John chapter 8, verse 31, it says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold my teachings, you are my disciples indeed. If you hold to my teachings, you are my disciples indeed, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, this is very powerful because it is the word that you're reading that sets you and I free. How it does it, I have no idea. I tell you, how it does it, I have no idea. The same way the food you eat, do you know how you grow? Well, I don't. How the word does it, till today, I really don't understand. But the word, the Bible tells us something. It says that as you study the word and you have confidence in the word can make you or anybody who's born again free. So, if someone is addicted to, I don't know, maybe drugs, and they become a Christian, someone is addicted to whatever it is, or maybe someone is even tormented by fear, tormented by spirits, all those things. The Bible tells us something, that as you engage the Word of God will make you free. That as we engage the Word of God sets us free from those things. I remember before I became a Christian, I used to be so fearful. In fact, I would wake up in the morning, I'd be so fearful. I'll think. I'll be exhausted by the evening. Oh, how about if this happens? How about if that happens? So on and so forth. Then I became a Christian and I began to read the Bible. And it began to tell me that, you know what, fear not, I am with you. So on and so forth. And as I read those things, that I stopped experiencing that intense feeling of fear. So many things. So the Word of God frees us. There's some people who will say, oh, I'm tormented by evil spirits. Can you if it depends on what's part of the word, can you do like deliverance for me from this evil spirit as a Christian? That's quite popular. You don't need to be delivered as a Christian. All you need is the Word of God. As you study the Word of God, you will become free from those things. Do you understand? So, the last thing is this. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 8, and we'll stop there. We experience the reality of the Christian faith through the Word of God. The Bible tells us that as we read the Word of God and as it takes root in our heart, we bear fruit. We bear fruit. So that's Matthew chapter 13, verse 8, but we're not going to go there. So I'm going to stop there this morning. So I've said the Word of God is so important, and the beauty of this whole thing is that it's not something that you have to look for from afar. It is something that is in your hands already. The Word of God is available to you. And I've said the Word of God can speak to you. The Word of God, we renew our minds by the Word of God. We grow by the Word of God. We experience freedom by the Word of God. And it is through the Word of God, which is the fifth thing, we experience everything that God has ordained for us. Amen. So this morning, we're just going to pray.